Alors, nous vous prions de bien vouloir aider l'école de clowns Brimbalante. On se rejoint l'autre côté de la pause. C'est chaud pour le Monstorm. Bonsoir, mesdames et messieurs. Voici la deuxième heure de Show pour le Monstone à l'antenne de CKUT 90,3. Une deuxième heure que je vais consacrer à la musique qu'on dit library music, de la musique de catalogue. Qu'est-ce que c'est la musique de catalogue? Eh bien, j'ai été chercher deux spécialistes importants dans le domaine, parce que, comme vous le savez, à Show pour le Monstone, on ne lésine pas sur les collaborations signifiantes. Et puis, comme notre budget est illimité, eh bien, on peut aller chercher des gens, des hautes sphères, des sommités en la matière, en quelque sorte. Ils proviennent, c'est deux chercheurs universitaires de la Dusty Vinyl University qui vont vous l'expliquer. En fait, je pense que ça va être plus simple, ils sont beaucoup plus éloquents que moi à ce sujet. Et puis après ça, je vous laisse pour une heure avec une variété de pièces de library music que je les ai composées moi-même, mais disons que j'ai choisi pour vous, pour votre plaisir auditif. Et puis à la fin, je viendrai vous dire de quoi il s'agissait. Alors, bonne écoute. Voici donc un de mes deux spécialistes. Il y a Sean Atkinson et Laura McDermott. Merci, Pitchfork.
The Strange World of Library Music. The Dusty Field of Library Music. Background tracks owned by labels and lent out to TV, radio, and film projects, has proven to be an endless sample source for hip-hop producers as well as inspiration for avant-garde experimentalists. The history of pop is rarely written by the background players, and even today, when film composers, session musicians, and freelance songwriters eventually get their due, there's still something a bit mysterious and dusty about the field of library music. In short, library music, aka production or stock music, is music recorded in a multitude of contexts and styles by work-for-hire musicians, owned by music library labels, and lent out to commercial enterprises in TV, radio, and film. Sometimes this music sticks. For instance, the themes for both Monday Night Football and the UK sports program Superstars were both sourced from Heavy Action, a 1974 recording on the KPM music label, and sometimes they revive as period piece fodder, like the Adrian Young source soundtrack to the blaxploitation spoof Black Dynamite. For the most part, however, their influence comes through after they've been repurposed and recontextualized even more than their creators ever expected. To take one example, the works of drummer and composer Brian Bennett have been flipped by everyone from Mike Will Made It to Kanye West to The Alchemist, typically relegated to crate digger curiosities for their role as sample fodder. Library music records of the 1960s and 70s tend to hinge more on utilitarian mood setting than distinct personality. Composers could labor under multiple pseudonyms. Artist names were frequently relegated to the back sleeve, and some labels, particularly London's KPM, which released almost every single one of their LPs in the same olive, green sleeve, thrived while putting their own brand over a musician's particular identity. Call it the other side of poptimism, just as the super producers, TV talent show alumni, and focus group songwriters of the Hot 100 are capable of making transcendent songs from their so-called assembly lines, so too were the under-attributed composers and studio orchestras of previous eras, whose biggest hope was for their work to find its way into the score of a low-budget sci-fi film or a two-season cop thriller, or, more infamously, in a porno. That stereotypical hocker, chicka cue had to come from somebody.
Library music gives us a picture of the way day-to-day music sounded decades ago. With those roles in mind, library music frequently fell into three modes. Some records were approximations of top 40 and dance floor sounds, left to be picked up by TV and film producers who didn't feel like shelling out for the genuine article. More common were variations on the trendy jazz or funk-laced orchestral scores crafted by the likes of Henry Mancini, Lalo Schifrin, and Isaac Hayes. And in some notable cases, music libraries would facilitate mad scientist works that often touched on avant-garde synth, ambient, and musique concrète in ways that experimental artists are still looking up to today. The problem persists, however, where do you even get this music, since library music is often built on the imprimatur of labels instead of artists. There have been a number of good to great label-centric compilations that focus on a grab bag of artists united under some loosely thematic concept. Strut's Music for Dancefloor's series has focused on a few of the more notable UK labels like KPM, Bosworth, and Chapel, while Music De Wolf, arguably the most widely sought after label in beatmaker circles, has released two compilations dubbed Bite Harder, offerings from continental Europe are trickier to get a hold of, and the best records on France's editions Montparnasse 2000, Italy's Gemelli, or Germany's Selected Sound are mostly exclusive to the collector circuit. Every so often somebody will wrangle a fascinating cross-section of library music, Luke Vibert's Nuggets Compendiums, the short-lived Cinemaphonic series that originated on Empire and Norton, and the numerous self titled compilations put out by Italian reissue label Easy Tempo all stood out at the height of library music's lounge revival adjacent rediscovery in the late 90s and early zeros. But with such a niche interest, many of these albums soon go out of print, if they're ever reissued at all. Maybe that's how it's meant to be. If there's such a thing as ephemeral music, this is it. Recordings that were meant for a certain moment and usually filed away when that moment has passed, when Hammond B3s make way for synths, or disco rhythms turn passé after the rise of new wave. They give us a picture of the way day-to-day music sounded decades ago, outside either the bounds of pop chart aspirations or the critically acclaimed underground. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Surely you haven't come to negotiate, Mr. Bond. Your pitiful little island hasn't even been threatened.
Bring out the gimp.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Et bien voilà, nous sommes toujours à l'antenne de CKUT 90,3. C'est chaud pour le Monstone qui s'achève. On a entendu vraiment plein de choses dans ce segment d'une heure consacré à la library music. Je vais essayer de faire ça rapidement, mais j'espère que vous avez aimé ça. Écoute, je suppose que des auditeurs aguerris comme vous connaissiez l'univers de la library music, et ce que j'ai choisi est un échantillon extrêmement minuscule de tout ce que l'univers absolument vaste de la library music peut offrir. Mais bon, c'est ce que vous avez eu ce soir et j'espère que vous avez aimé ça. Alors voilà, on a entendu au début Alan Hackshaw, un grand classique de la library music avec Beat Me Till I'm Blue. Après ça, on a eu Sammy Birdson et John Fiddy avec Spaces and Time. Ensuite, on a eu André Cecciarelli avec Dindu numéro 1. Ensuite, Suspense Electronica de Piero Umiliani. Il va revenir quelquefois, Piero Umiliani, parce que je l'aime beaucoup. Puis après ça, on a eu Planétarium de Delia Derbyshire, suivi de Sounds of the City International Airport de Maria Teresa Luciani. Ensuite, de la fameuse et très grande maison de library music The Wolf, on a entendu Down Home, sans plus de détails, parce que des fois, c'était comme ça. C'était seulement la maison qui donnait son nom. Ensuite, on a eu après Johnny Hawkworth, pardon, avec Rhythm and Rock. C'était suivi de Richard C. Sanders avec Afro Cat. Après ça, on a eu Delia Derbyshire avec Attack of the Alien Minds. Après ça, un petit segment pas mal italiano avec Piero Umiliani et Murder et Description. Après ça, on a eu Bruno Nicolai, un homme que j'adore aussi, avec Analogier, suivi de Electrification on Fire Ants, c'est le nom de la pièce, et la compile Library Music, c'est Tone On. Après ça, on a eu chez The Wolf Music, Gray Singh, S-I-N-G-H. Ensuite, on a eu Legeremente Misterioso, je pense que c'était Piero Umiliani. Puis là, beaucoup de Piero Umiliani. On a eu Rosanna, après ça, on a eu Legeremente Misterioso, et puis après ça, on va entendre dans un instant, en fait, Rhythmie in Swing. Alors, j'espère que vous avez aimé la soirée. Excusez-moi, c'est beaucoup de stock, mais je me fais un espèce de souci professionnel de nommer les choses qu'on a entendues. Alors, voilà. Je sais que Shazam existe aussi, mais bon, ça me permet d'exercer ma belle voix. Donc, voilà. Bonne soirée à tous et on se retrouve à CKUT, Show pour le Monstone, dans deux semaines. Nico Terrien qui sera avec vous. Bye bye. Thank you.
Pangea de Futura is a mega jam collective comprised of many veterans of the Montreal music scene, a wide range of tectonic plates coming together, making the world stop for a second and ripping these continents apart. CKUT 90.3 FM is proud to present their concert in collaboration with CHYZ 94.3 on Sunday, May 22nd at 3 p.m. at the 38th Festival International the Music Exerel de Victoriaville. For all the details on the 38th FIMAV, visit fimav.qc.ca.